Nothing can be more stirring than a scene of galloping horsemen across a landscape. Movie makers use such images to add drama, mystery, and power to their stories. In the book of Revelation, chapter 6, Jesus Christ uses four horsemen to represent four seals he opens from a scroll in his hand. These images have intrigued generations of Bible students. Riding across the prophetic landscape, these dramatic images of religion, war, famine, and pestilence cause a vision of terror upon the world. Is there a meaning to our troubled and uncertain world today? Do these images foretell greater calamity for the earth's inhabitants? Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we discuss the meaning of the horsemen of Revelation and what they foretell for today's world.
Join our host, Darris McNeely, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
When you think of Revelation, you think of end-time prophecy, Armageddon, images of fantastic beasts, angels, and visions of God. Most have the idea that Revelation describes events of the end of the world. Nothing could be further from the truth. While there are events describing the end of the age, Revelation foretells the coming of a new world, the age of the kingdom of God, a time of peace and abundance. But before the world sees that event, there will be a time of trouble unlike any ever seen. Perhaps the best known image from the book is that of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Today's program is designed to help you understand the truth of these images and how they make their ride across the world's landscape. With me to discuss this subject today are two ministers with the United Church of God, Gerald Ost, who's also a senior writer for the Good News Magazine, and Britton Taylor, who is also a pastor. Gentlemen, it's good to have both of you with us today.
Thanks for having us.
What are some of the keys to understanding the book of Revelation, Britt?
There is one of the main keys that we need to understand is that Jesus Christ himself is the revealer. He's the one who reveals to us the meaning of the book of Revelation. And he gives that to John in a vision where John is transported to the Lord's day. And John was to write down the things that he saw, things that were to come, and things that had taken place. And that was to be revealed to the servants of God. And it is a message of hope. It's a message that shows Christ's intervention in world's affairs and something that we certainly look forward to.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt, and building on what Britt just said here, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you take Revelation all the way through the 22 chapters, you will find that these seals and whatever else that you see here actually begin at the ascension of Jesus Christ, the beginning of the New Testament church. And we're going to get into that, I'm sure. But it's important for our viewers to understand that when they take a look at the book of Revelation, it's not just, as you said early on, the end time events alone. These right. things are opened up from within the first century A.D. all the way to the very end.
And it is Jesus Christ who opens these seals, correct?
Right.
Another very important point to understand.
Vitally important, yes.
Okay, Revelation chapter 6 begins with the unveiling of these seals by Jesus Christ and these horsemen coming across the landscape. All right, what's most important to understand about these seals, Joe?
Most important thing about the seals is that, of course, only Jesus Christ can open them. And you'll find in Revelation 5, just the chapter before, that John was concerned that there was no one able to open up the seal. And then, of course, Christ, who is the revelator of the book of Revelation, shows that he indeed is able to do that. So it's vitally important to know that Christ knows precisely what's going on in those seals. He prophesies, he predicts in the future what's going to take place. So it's important for us to understand that that word seal has to do with something that's inside there that's true, and that when it is open, it is going to come to pass.
And I think, Britt, it's important to understand, as it's already been alluded to, that these seals parallel something Christ talked about back in Matthew chapter 24.
Indeed they do. They parallel Matthew 24, which is known as the Olivet Prophecy. The Olivet Prophecy there really is a mini outline in Matthew 24 of the book of Revelation. And it goes into outline form and tells us during Christ's earthly ministry, his earthly ministry, of what was going to take place. And then he endorses that again as he explains to us in detail in the book of Revelation those things that are shortly to come to pass.
All right, let's look at this first rider. It's a rider on a white horse. He has a bow in his hand. What is it that is being represented here? Some people say that this is Jesus Christ.
The very first one is the white horse, of course, and that white horse has to do with a false Messiah, a false teacher, someone who is riding on the horse with a bow in his hand. The bow has to do with conquering, going forth and conquering. So this does not have to do with Jesus Christ, of course. That can be proven by looking at Revelation 19 and comparing the two. But this one has to do with counterfeit religion, false religious traditions that people don't really understand is not from Christ. And so this white horse, though it appears white and it appears to be righteous, is not.
And Matthew 24 really introduces that as well, that there shouldn't be any misunderstanding. It is not referring to Jesus Christ. It's referring to false Christ and false prophets who come in Christ's name and deceive the world. And Christ tells us don't be deceived by that. So when we look at that first horse and the rider they're on, that great white horse, that it is deception. It is a counterfeit religion that comes on the world scene, and we need to be aware of that.
And Christ had a great deal to say about false prophets, those who would come in his name, saying that they represent him. And so this horse and this rider represents the whole history of that development of people coming in Christ's name.
Absolutely remarkable. If you look even in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, you'll see the true church down through a period of time with different approaches, different attitudes, but they had to face false religion. Yeah, the doctrine of the Balaamites and the Nicolaitans and so on. All I'm pointing out here is that there was false ways of looking at the truth, true Christianity, and people were taking off and doing their own thing and causing other people to follow them. So that has been going on for the last 2,000 years in the name of Christ.
Well, then, to make such a statement as that brings into question a great deal of religious teaching that people have today. Many churches, many different faiths, especially within the Christian religion. Can all of these churches be either right or wrong, Britt?
Well, when you look at what Revelation says, it says that Satan the devil has deceived the whole world. Not just a little part of the world, but he's deceived the entire world. Mm-hmm. And Christ gives a warning about that, that we need to be aware of that. As you ask, you know, can all of those religions be correct? Well, no. They really can't. Christ shows that he built his church and that he would establish that. And he has known himself as true. And he is going to have his truth upon the earth. But everyone isn't going to adopt that truth. And Christ gives us that warning about that first rider to be aware of that great deception, the great counterfeit that's out there.
Unfortunately, people do not understand. And some perhaps think, well, I'm very happy with the religion that I'm in, and they don't really understand that it's possible for this world to be darkened in terms of religious tradition. But if you take a look at Paul's words, for example, in 2 Corinthians, you will find that Satan palms himself off as an angel of light, and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. A little earlier in that same chapter, verse 4, it literally talks about another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. Well, that tells us something, and we need to take a look at that. Can they all be right? No, they can't all be right. Jesus said, I'll build my church, singular, and yet we have hundreds and perhaps thousands of them today.
Well, another figure is mentioned in the book of Revelation who is referred to as a false prophet, obviously a religious teacher, so there is a connection with this ride of this particular horseman, this first horseman and the first seal there. What is it about people that cause them to succumb to religious deception? Rick?
Well, I believe that within human nature, there is a desire to worship a higher power. I believe that's innate to all of us, that we have that desire. Then it comes down to a decision that one makes. Do I worship the true God or do I worship the false God? Satan the devil has tremendous power to deceive. Therefore, we have the warning from Christ about that. And people who don't know the true God, the true Christ, They give in to that. They have been deceived. They can be quite sincere in that. But they have been deceived. People tend to want to belong to something maybe bigger than themselves, to be with other people, to be comfortable in a religion. But Satan the devil is the great deceiver.
So it's important to be very, very careful and to check up and to prove what is being taught in the name of Christ.
Yeah, no
that's
question.
True. Prove all things.
It's a big subject. We've got several more horsemen to come to here. Our featured literature today is the booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled. It goes into far more detail than we have the time in this particular program, but it's yours for the asking, and you can read it online at beyondtoday.tv. We'll be right back and take a closer look at the second writer of the Book of Revelation. Stay with us. Look at this message.
What is the matrix of meanings of the book of Revelation, with its mysterious images of catastrophes, beasts, and demonic traps of deception? Find out by going to beyondtoday.tv or calling 1-888-886-8632 for your free copy of the Book of Revelation Unveiled. Find out where history, where global politics, and global religions in control of the world system are leading us all. See how world events are exactly described in the story flow of the Book of Revelation in your Bible. Decode the images of the beast as the scrolls in Revelation open before your eyes. Understand how even Christianity will dissolve as the world system explodes in religious-inspired violence. Solve the riddle of the number of the beast. See the signs of the Messiah in the events to come at beyondtoday.tv or call 1-888-886-8632.
And we're back to Beyond Today. We're talking on this program about the Four Horsemen of Revelation. The booklet we're offering is the Book of Revelation Unveiled. You can find a copy of it to read online at beyondtoday.tv. You can also request a free copy that will be sent to you. This booklet will take you through a very detailed study of the entire Book of Revelation. Today's program is covering only one part of it, the sixth chapter and the seals, the first four seals of the Book of Revelation. Gentlemen, in our first segment, we talked about the white horse of false religion, and we need to move on to the second horse, which is in Revelation 6 described as a red horse going out making war and bringing war upon the world. It symbolizes war. Is there a connection to the first, Jerry?
Well, there definitely is a connection to the first. Let me say first, if you don't mind, that red, of course, has to do with blood and bloodletting. And the word large sword has to do with slaughter. But it does fit with the very first one, because these are like in stepwise progression, but they work simultaneously with one another. They interact, and they're seamlessly tied in with one another. So if you have false religion, and take a look in our history, and you find, of course, a lot of wars that have been fought over religion. So your second horse, which is the red horse, has to do with a lot of bloodletting over the centuries, thousands, millions, people that have been killed.
Probably more wars have been fought in the name of religion, religious strife, than any other cause throughout history, correct?
Absolutely remarkable.
I would say so. That red horse, it does so show slaughter upon the earth, and it does tie directly to that false prophet, that false religion of the first horse. And again, if you look at a history of mankind, man doesn't need an excuse to go to war, but you look at the tie with religion and the tie of religion with the state or with government, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to see a tremendous amount of wars, a tremendous amount of shed blood on this earth because of the tie of religion, false religion, to the state or to the ability to make war.
People wanting to convert others to their brand of religion, whatever it might be.
We've got the Fox's Book of Martyrs, for example.
Yes.
I think that's a very good illustration. Spanish Inquisition, hundreds of years later. And so these things have come about. People know about them. They're a matter of history. You can go and look on the internet anywhere, and you can find these to be true.
Well, in our headlines today, we see fundamentalist Islam. Being a factor there, is there a connection here when we're dealing with war and religion as well?
I think that there is. If you look at the radical fundamentalist Islamics, you'll find that they fear the West. They consider the West to be infidels, that they're very protective of their own territory, their own nation, their own ground. And they feel that if the infidel comes and places himself there, that is a threat to them, and they want to drive the infidel, the Westerner, away from them. Of course, right there in the Middle East, you have all of those oil reserves, and we in the West are dependent upon those reserves to such a great degree that we want to be there. We have an interest there. The radical ones don't want us there, and they spread that through their religion, and that's a cause of a great deal of strife.
Difficult to keep a superpower out of the Middle East because they need this oil, they need to run the automobiles, all kinds of transportation. It's difficult for that not to take place. You got an automatic rub here, a clash.
And in that region, you've got the mix of war that has been incessant for thousands of years.
Yes, for sure.
And different forms of religion, Christianity, Judaism before that. And then Islam as it came on the scene in the 7th century. I think it might be good at this point, gentlemen, for us to mention that these seals or these horsemen, we've talked about false religion, we've talked about war to this point. We've always had religious strife.
That's true.
Even in pre-Christian periods. Right. We've always had wars. But these the ride of these horsemen symbolize an increased amount of it as we move toward the time of the end, don't we, Britt?
It sure does. And as the Bible shows in Revelation, it is to show things to come. And the setting is the Lord's Day, or the Day of the Lord, which the Bible addresses Old Testament and New Testament, a coming time of calamity. So that does increase and really crescendos right there at the end time there in the book of Revelation. And that warfare that will be there will be led by a false prophet. It will be influenced by that, a false Christ, a false religion that brings that upon the world. And it does really grow and then and culminates in the return of Jesus Christ and a fight against him.
The book of Revelation also shows that if there will be billions killed, that's such a incredible figure. But we're looking at, say, a quarter of population of humanity that is killed at one particular time, say, in the ultimate end of time, when people are killed, a lot of bloodletting, a lot of people dying. And if you figure one quarter, if you have 6.2 billion rounded off to six, you're looking at what? A quarter is a billion and a half. That's a lot of people that will be dying. So these things all fit. Christ knew what he was talking about. He was telling us again, and it's, I think it's an excellent reminder to go back, that these seals are opened from about 2,000 years past, and they go all the way through. So you and I and everyone else can take a look at history and see how these things have come to pass, and then they culminate in the very end time, and we can be ready for that.
All right, let's go on to the ride of the third horseman. In Revelation 6, the third seal is opened by the Lamb, by Jesus Christ. And there is a black horse here at this point, and the rider has scales in his hands. What are we being told here in this image, Britt?
Well, the black horse pictures famine. And one of the results of warfare is famine. And you can see that around the world anytime there's been a conflict. But here at the end time, you're going to have a famine that comes upon the earth that it says they're going to have to measure out the food. It talks about the quart of barley that would sell for a denarius, symbolizing really a tremendous increase in the amount that that food would cost. Maybe 12 times as much. Right. And it talks about the barley again, that we back in ancient times, the poor people would kind of mix that with the wheat, and it has a higher cost too. So you have a scarcity of food, famine, where people are protecting that. They have to weigh it out, measure it out, and the cost of it is just astronomical.
And some of these famines that we read about in history have been engineered by human beings, by governments, to the detriment of their peoples, correct?
I think so. You can look in history. You can look at the Soviet Union back in the 30s when there was more of a, in Ukraine, where they were wanting a nationalism there that they were working toward, and Stalin wanted to crush that. He pulled the people off of the farms, brought them into the cities, removed the foodstuffs into the cities. Mm-hmm. And then when they had the time where there was going to be a shortage, he didn't allow the food to come in. And about 8 million people were starved to death. And that was really a man-made.
And yet the image we have here in the scripture is of an even greater famine yet to come in the time of the end. The book of Revelation Unveiled is our featured booklet today. Go online at beyondtoday.tv to get your copy of this. When we come back, we're going to talk about the last of the four horsemen of Revelation chapter 6 and a surprising one that you may not have thought about. Stay tuned.
What is the matrix of meanings of the book of Revelation, with its mysterious images of catastrophes, beasts, and demonic traps of deception? As the scrolls in Revelation open, understand how even Christianity will dissolve as the world system explodes in religious-inspired violence. Solve the riddle of the number of the beast. Find out by going to beyondtoday.tv or calling 1-888-886-8632 for your free copy of the book of Revelation Unveiled. Explaining the meaning of human genetics is just another way the Good News Magazine informs, with understanding you can't get anywhere else. It shows the brilliant design of the mind behind the universe. Another issue features the latest biblical research showing Jesus taught heaven is coming to the earth. Call for your free subscription toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv.
Welcome back to Beyond Today. We are discussing the four horsemen of Revelation on today's program. In that last break, you saw an ad for the Good News Magazine. When you go online and if you order the booklet offered today, which is the Book of Revelation Unveiled, we will also send you a free one-year subscription to our flagship publication, the Good News Magazine. This magazine takes you through a number of different subjects, every issue dealing with Christian living, biblical doctrine, prophecy, world news analysis. The good news is something that you need. You'll understand better the words of the Bible and news and information for your life today. All right, gentlemen, we've covered three of these four horsemen up to this point. We've talked about false religion, war, and famine. Now, in verses 7 and 8 of Revelation 6, the fourth seal is opened, and at that point we see a pale horse, and the rider on that horse is called Death, and the grave follows after him, and there is a power there to kill a fourth of the earth. What is it, Britt, that we're seeing in this last of the visions?
Darius, what we see there with that fourth horse is a disease, the plague, an epidemic that comes upon the earth. It is as a result of famine, and we could see that through the history of mankind. When you have war and then famine, then you have disease, pestilence, which comes upon that. And it's showing really a tremendous amount of that really happens there at the end time, right before the return of Christ. And that's the spread of this plague on this, typified by this sickly horse, or the sickly looking horse, this pale colored horse.
So it's an epidemic that goes across the world at the time of the end. Throughout history, we've had all kinds of plagues. The Black Death of the Middle Ages decimated Europe. Closer to our time, however, we've seen other epidemics in our own modern period, haven't we, Jerry?
One very striking example is the one in about 1918. Probably helped precipitate the end of the war, I don't know.
But World War One
in about 1918, in that time, give or take a year, when the influenza epidemic, which really became a pandemic, where there was, you know, the immunity system couldn't handle that, and there were not enough stuff that they needed for inoculations. And so about 30 to 50 million people died in that. Absolutely remarkable. And so we've had these epidemics that have turned into pandemics, which is a much larger area, and we run the risk of doing that again, of that happening again. We've had the West Nile virus, mosquito-borne virus that could really cause a pandemic, and then this avian bird flu.
The avian flu that's been working its way from Asia, Southeast Asia, across Europe, and beginning to show up in possibly even in some parts of North America at some point.
You know, Darius, as Gerald was saying there, the Spanish flu of 1918, that was something that took 35, 50 million lives. It touched my personal life. My grandfather, he was a medical doctor there in 1918. He was 30 years old, treating a fellow medical doctor who had the Spanish flu. The other doctor made it through, and my grandfather didn't. He died at age 30. I left my father, a two-year-old boy, without his dad, his sister without her father. And we look at that time, and people didn't travel much then. You look at this modern time. We have a million people a day who cross international territory or from one country to another in these airplanes that are all those a long metal cylinder, and everyone's in there. And if someone gets sick, they're able to spread that among those people, and then a million people crossing international lines by jet every day. When that starts, today we have such ability to spread disease that I believe would fit right in with what Christ has forecast.
That's probably one of the scariest thoughts that we could have in looking at this fourth horseman, the spread of a disease epidemic throughout the world. That is so prevalent today, so possible. As you said, with international travel the way it is, one of those planes you mentioned, Britt, could land in one location, any location in the world, and as those passengers disembark, get onto other planes and go to other locations in a particular country, instantly you could have something spread through all corners of the United States, Canada, or some country in Europe very quickly. All four of these horsemen have their own particular frightening scenario that they enact, and as they ride across the prophetic landscape of our world, they're going to bring tremendous distress to our world. But I want to go to what a lot of people don't really focus on, and that is a fifth horseman that is mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. We see another white horse and a different rider who is at this time carrying a sword of a different type, emerging from the heavens. What exactly are we seeing when we look at that vision there, Britt?
We're seeing Jesus Christ and his return to this earth. And the world goes through all of these horrible epidemics that we've already discussed, so many of them created by man himself and his misdeeds. But then you see Jesus Christ returning. and he's going to come down to this earth, and he's going to right all of those wrongs. He has to have a sword in his hand because the Bible shows that the nations of the earth are going to gather to fight against him. And that's something that, because of their being deceived by that first rider of the first horse,
false religion,
they're going to actually turn their efforts against Jesus Christ. So he has that sword in his hand. He wins that battle quickly. And then he ushers in the kingdom of God. And that brings in tremendous amount of joy and happiness in God's way of life. That really, and that's the message of the book of Revelation, is pointing to the completeness of God's plan.
God has never lost his love for mankind. Mm-hmm. That's important for us to realize. Revelation really is a letter or a book of hope for mankind. He's coming to save, not destroy mankind.
So Christ comes and there's one last final war. Almost like one type of war that has to be fought on such a scale, and without going into all the other scriptures, that last battle that Christ does fight is a massive battle. As you mentioned, Britt, the nations turn to fight him at his coming, but it opens up a whole new world of possibilities. Like one last battle sucks all of the hate, all of the animosity out of mankind in one last conflagration, and sets up an opportunity for the kingdom of God?
Yeah, well, really Armageddon is what that staging is all about.
Right, right.
Christ really invites all of these nations to come in, these tyrants, and then they come around and surround Jerusalem for the great day of God Almighty. That is the end of all things, like Britt was already saying. And it's a matter of staging them and bringing them down in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, bringing them down around Armageddon, and then inviting them to come down to Jerusalem, and then Christ will find
them. Well, I like what you said, Jerry, that the book of Revelation really is a book of hope.
To me,
and
it is.
If our listeners today don't take anything else away from this program, other than that one thought, I hope that we can leave them with that it is a message of hope that shows a brighter world to come beyond all of the problems of our world today.
Could agree with you no more.
Well, the book of Revelation Unveiled is something we want you to pick up a copy of and go online at beyondtoday.tv to read and to order for yourself. We'll be right back for a final thought. Stay with us.
What is the matrix of meanings of the book of Revelation, with its mysterious images of catastrophes, beasts, and demonic traps of deception? As the scrolls in Revelation open, understand how even Christianity will dissolve as the world system explodes in religious-inspired violence. Solve the riddle of the number of the beast. Find out by going to beyondtoday.tv or calling 1-888-886-8632 for your free copy of the book of Revelation Unveiled.
The ride of the four horsemen of Revelation is a dramatic picture of events to come upon this world before the coming of Jesus Christ, who is the fifth horseman. These events are building today, and in God's time will be unleashed upon an unsuspecting world with a fury not seen in any previous time. Your hope and refuge, when this happens, will not be in yourself or any other human. It will be in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 91 says, He is our refuge and our fortress. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror, the pestilence, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. These are encouraging and comforting words that embody a promise from God, our true source of refuge. Gentlemen, Jerry, Britton, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks very much, Josh.
Remember, when you're looking to understand your future, this is the program, Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.